It's the Vinyl Countdown.
Welcome to the show, which is all about the warm, crackly sound of vinyl. Over the next hour, we have music recorded at one of the most famous studios in the world. And this couldn't be a bigger clue.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, tight, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright.
double helping of the Beatles to get us underway, and you must have guessed by now, our theme today is music recorded at Abbey Road Studios in London. We started off with A Hard Day's Night, number one in Britain and America in the summer of 1964. Then it was Help from exactly a year later, and it also made it to the top of the charts on both sides of the Atlantic. As ever, we are sitting here surrounded by 7 and 12 inch records, real vinyl, and joining me as usual is my son Max as we play and discuss the tracks. Max, you can't beat those two from the Beatles.
I do really love both of those tracks. I just think they have so much to them. Like, they're both full of life, they're both full of adventure. And whilst they may not be my favourite Beatles songs, I think, honestly, any Beatles song just brings me so much joy.
You can't help but sing along to them, can you?
Exactly. It's just so fantastically catchy. And especially, sort of, I think A Hard Day's Night with sort of cowbell almost running through it. So it just gives you that driving power in your life. It's perfect.
A Hard Day's Night has that very distinctive opening chord. George Harrison, who played it on a 12-string guitar, said it's an F chord with a G on top. Certainly an attention grabber.
Yeah, I think it's a really catchy chord, even if George Harrison may or may not be wrong.
Yeah, what do you think it is? You don't think it's an F chord with a G on top?
I think it might be an F2.
Right. And does that make a difference?
Not really, though I suspect my jazz teacher won't be best pleased for that.
It was very daring, though, to start with a chord like that, wasn't it?
I think it is a real attention grabber. It's perfect for that. It almost makes you think about what this song's really going to bring you, and it's perfect.
Well, producer George Martin said they knew they needed a strong start because the song would both open the Hard Day's Night album and the film of the same name, so it had to grab attention.
Exactly. I think the opening of a film, the first 90 seconds of any film, just as the first 10 seconds of any song, are absolutely crucial. They sort of get you going. They almost drag you straight into it, don't they?
And the title came from something Ringo Starr said. The Beatles had done a long day somewhere and they came out. It was dark, but Ringo hadn't really noticed. He was a bit tired. He started to say, "That was a hard day." Paused and then said night.
Yeah, and I think the song really captures that kind of energy, really. Like, it just has that almost, you're almost losing track of time as you go through it. It's perfect.
John Lennon wrote most of that song in just a few hours. It shows what a good songwriter he was.
Yeah, John Lennon, of course, was immensely talented, and that's something he took with him into his solo career as well. When you see songs like sort of Imagine, which are just perfectly crafted.
And our other song, Help, was also a song for a Beatles film. The title comes from John Lennon thinking Beatlemania was out of control. He was struggling with it, felt he really needed help.
Yes, well, I suppose it's what one has to pay for the British invasion of America.
Oh, it's a song about stress. John Lennon said he was fat, depressed and crying for help.
Well, it's a really, really powerful song as well. It sort of has a driving energy, but then the lyrics almost contrast that. It almost feels like it should be a ballad.
Well, it took them, 12 takes in the studio to record because there's apparently a descending lead guitar riff in front of each verse, and that proved very difficult to do.
Yeah, I suppose timing that must have been immensely difficult, especially if you sort of do it quite freely.
Even for the Beatles, who were really good at that sort of thing.
Exactly. And when you think about any other band would have taken more than 12 takes to do such a sort of complex song.
So both those songs were recorded at Abbey Road Studios in St John's Wood, London, probably one of the most famous recording studios that's ever existed, a place that produced a lot of imaginative music, Max.
It's a really incredible place, Abbey Road Studios. It has this sense of wonder. Whilst I've never actually got a chance to sort of go inside it, I've been outside it a couple of times, and it almost creates this sense of wonder and artistry with all the graffiti on the wall.
Yeah, it's a very, I guess it's a place which actually has a lot of charisma for a building, doesn't it? You just know something special has happened in there.
It's just so versatile as a studio. So many different purposes. So many different things have taken place within it.
Yeah, it was actually started decades before the Beatles were on the scene, Max. The Gramophone Company, a predecessor of EMI Records, set up the studio in 1931, so it saw a lot of classical music recording too.
Exactly. Even today we get a lot of sort of film music and classical albums recorded there, and pop musicians are still using it, and that's really incredible.
Well, in an interview in the 1960s inside Abbey Road Studios, the Beatles' famous producer George Martin talked about what he could do with all the then modern recording equipment there.
Tape and electronics have brought an enormous new feel to music. It's surprising what you can do once you have a sound recorded on tape. You can speed it up, you can slow it down, you can turn it round back to front. You can compress it, equalize it, add echo. There's a whole range of things you can do, which it would be obviously far too complicated to describe to you in detail. But take the sound of an ordinary cymbal, for example. Have a listen to this. Now, have you heard it backwards?
a morning from a Bogart movie, in a country where they turn back time. You go strolling through the crowd like Pete DeLore contemplating a crime. She comes out of the sun in a silk dress, running like a watercolor in the rain. Don't bother asking for an explanation, she'll just tell you that she came in the year of the cat. Time for questions as she locks up your arm in hers, and you follow till your sense of which direction completely disappears. By the blue tiled walls near the market stalls, there's a hidden door she leads you to. These days, she says, I feel my life just like a river running through. The year of the cat. Well, she looks at you so coolly, and her eyes shine like the moon in the sea. She comes in incense and patchouli. So you take her to find what's waiting inside, the year of the cat.
Warning from a Bogart movie in a country where they turn back time. Some of the best opening lyrics to a song ever written, I think. Year of the Cat from Al Stewart, recorded at Abbey Road Studios in 1976, entering the British and American Top 40 later that same year. Max, I think that's an amazing piece of music.
It is almost perfectly written. I just really love how the instruments and the vocals sort of slowly come in. We start with just piano and then we sort of get the drums and sax, and it just gets better and better as it goes. I think the lyrics are really beautiful as well. The sort of idea of watercolours and the rain washing it away like a relationship. It's just perfect.
It's all about a tourist visiting a market in an exotic foreign country, and you really get a picture of just how strange that country is, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's just a really poignant image that sticks in your head. It's almost like monsoon season and all these things. It's just the perfect song.
I think lyrics that actually help you conjure up a sense of place are usually, you know, they're very rare to find lyrics like that.
I'm trying to think of what other songs really... There are so few songs that just move me in a similar way. I think another good example is American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those sorts of ballads that just...
Yeah, you get
really
a sense of the upset, don't you, at that point in American Pie, and you get a sense of location in this song.
Exactly.
The title came about because Al Stewart's girlfriend left a book of Vietnamese astrology open on a table in their flat at the page for The Year of the Cat.
I think it's quite an interesting place for one to sort of get a song from, this idea.
It's amazing where inspiration comes
exactly.
from, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting, actually. I get ideas sort of just from wandering around. You get ideas from the strangest places.
Including a book left on a table.
Exactly.
A lot of that very long song is instrumental, isn't it? A total of about 4 minutes out of 6 minutes 40. That's very unusual in a chart hit.
Yeah, but I think it works really, really effectively. In that way, actually, I know if I'm making the American Pie comparisons, it's a very different song because American Pie is, the vocals are almost present the entire time.
Mm.
In an 8 minute song, there's probably about 7 minutes of vocals.
Yeah, that's true. So this one is almost all instrumental. It's almost like a jazz ballad, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of that a bit, except it's a lot faster than most jazz ballads.
Hmm.
It doesn't have that sort of same pensive energy. It's kind of a rock ballad of its own, really.
Well, it is interesting, isn't it? I mean, a lot of that feel of the song was down to Alan Parsons, who was then working as a producer at Abbey Road Studios. He, of course, went on to have his own group, the Alan Parsons Project.
Yes, it's really incredible, sort of, this idea that everything always links back to Abbey Road Studios, as we've seen today.
So many people have worked there over the years.
It's just such an incredible place. It is almost the home of music making. It's like recently we did a show on the Brill Building, and it's a similar kind of energy. All these people sort of together creating music and creating new adventures.
No, it's true. I mean, there is something very special about it. And as you mentioned earlier in the programme, we often go past Abbey Road Studios. We drive past. It's amazing how popular it is with tourists. They all want to cross the road on the zebra crossing as the Beatles did on the front of their album, don't they?
They all do. It's just a shame because the 5 minutes spent about crossing every time we try to drive through it is certainly not fun.
There's a very few times when there's no one there. I mean, it's normally very, very busy, so it shows it's still a big tourist draw.
Yeah, it really is. I think when people think of Britain, they think of the Beatles the same way they think of King Charles.
Max, you're going to be back later with more about one of our Abbey Road records, but we're going to move upbeat now, all on today's theme, all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown. All your vinyl memories. We'll be right back.
Even after the breakup of the Beatles, Paul McCartney kept on recording at Abbey Road with his next band, Wings. Jet was in the British and American top 10 in 1974. It came, of course, from the fantastic album Band on the Run. And I've always thought this was pretty good too. One of the new wave of bands, those new romantics who carried on using Abbey Road in the 70s and 80s. third single from Duran Duran's debut album, Girls on Film, was a top five hit in 1981, a very impressionist tune. This is Jonathan Charles, Kate Bush, Pink Floyd, The Buzzcocks, and many others are on the way, as we feature music made at Abbey Road Studios.
It's the Vinyl Countdown. All your vinyl memories, Jonathan Charles.
Always something very ethereal about Kate Bush's music, slightly otherworldly. Army Dreamers was in the UK top 20 in 1980 on the EMI record label, the owners of Abbey Road, of course. And this was recorded there too, a little bit of new wave dance.
Play upon her darkest fears. we were so in phase. In our dance hall days, we were cool and crazed. When I, you, and everyone we knew, who believed, do, and sharing what was true, I said, dance all days, love. Dance all days. Dance all days, love. Take your baby by the wrist, and in her mouth an amethyst, and in her red to sapphire's blue, and you need her and she needs you, and you need her and she needs you, and you need her and she needs you. And you need her and she needs you. And you need her and she needs you. We were so in phase. In our dance hall days, we were cool and crazed. When I, you, and everyone we knew, you believe, do, sharing what was true. Oh, I said, dance all days, love. Dance all days, love. Dance all days. Dance all days, love.
English band Wang Chung, and they got into the top 20 with Dance All Days. It took them two tries with that, though. First released in 1982, it's sunk without trace. Re-released and re-recorded at Abbey Road a year later, it finally broke through. Max is going to be back shortly in the studio. That is right after the triple play. All on today's theme, all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown.
1958. Into your heart and soul. Let me tell you, baby, it's called rock and roll. They say it's gonna die, but honey, be let's face it. Well, we just don't know what's going to replace it. Yeah, valleys and calypsos, I've got nothing on. Real country music that just drives along. Into your heart and soul. Well, let me tell you, baby, it's called rock and roll. They say it's gonna die, but honey, be let's face it. They just don't know what's going to replace it. Alice and Calypso's have got nothing on. Real country music that just drives along.
Uh-huh.
1971.
We'll be right back. get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. Money, it's a hit. Don't give me that too good, good bullshit. I'm in the high-fidelity first-class traveling section. I think I need a Learjet.
Our Vinyl Countdown Triple Play, all music recorded at Abbey Road Studios in London. First, we heard Cliff Richard's debut single, Move It. It reached number two in 1958 and began his stellar career. It's regarded as one of the first authentic rock and roll records to be made outside America. Then it was former Beatle George Harrison with What Is Life, a great song, which in Britain began life as the B-side to My Sweet Lord. In other countries, it was on the A-side and made it into the American top ten. Finally, we had Money from Pink Floyd. Max, you are back. You have been finding out some more about that Abbey Road recorded track.
Money was recorded at Abbey Road Studios as part of the sessions for the album The Dark Side of the Moon. It opens side two of the album. Pink Floyd thought of it as a mix between prog rock, blues rock, and hard rock. It was done with an unusual time signature, special effect, and advanced recording techniques involving multiple tracks. All led to a huge sound. Before coming to Abbey Road, sound effects, including rattling coins, were recorded by Pink Floyd members Nick Mason and Roger Waters in a garden shed. Sound engineer Alan Parsons said that during the studio recording, he got the band to slowly speed up their playing by using a metronome. The song has been ranked in the 100 Greatest Guitar Solos of All Time by Rolling Stone magazine. It was an American Top 20 success in 1973, but unfortunately didn't make it into the UK charts.
I think that's just a great song, Max. A musical tour de force, I would say.
Yes, you might say that. I think it's an absolutely excellent song, honestly. It's just sort of... It's very Pink Floyd in a way. It's slightly dark, but in a fun... It's in a fun way. You can almost imagine it sort of walking down a corridor or at a party late at night. It's exactly that kind of energy.
For its time, it feels quite advanced, actually. If you think, you know, I was just looking at the album here. We've got it in front of us. That famous front of the album with the... pyramid with the light passing through the prism. You know, it feels to me like a song that was recorded later than 1972, 1973, because it's, I don't know, it's got such a presence. It feels very full. The sound is perhaps more full than you get of many records at the time.
It's quite a late 70s sort of sound in a way.
So ahead of its time.
Exactly. It sounds like it should be sort of a 79 kind of track. It just brings so much to the table in how it's recorded and how it came out. I think the use of multi-track recording was really, really good, and it was sort of one of the first songs to do it, which was then followed up by sort of Queen and all these other artists.
Roger Waters, who wrote the song, said he was very interested in the topic of money. He said he was deciding whether he was really a socialist at the time, and he came to the conclusion he was a capitalist.
Mm. Yes, I think most musicians tend to come to that
especially
conclusion.
When they make a lot of money.
Exactly. I doubt he was a big fan of paying large amounts of tax.
Anyway, that was recorded at Abbey Road, Max, a reminder of just how diverse the building's musical output was. You know, if we think of this programme, we've heard the Beatles with their style, Al Stewart, many, many other artists, now Pink Floyd. You know, I mean, it's very, very different types of music and all produced to amazingly high standards.
I think it's incredible what Abbey Road Studios can do for a musician.
Like, maybe just, you raise your game when you go there because you know the history.
Exactly. It's one of the most incredible recording spots of all time. I suspect when Pink Floyd walked in, they knew about the Beatles and their sort of successes.
Definitely.
There. And they almost felt that they had to live up to that.
All right. One more Abbey Road tune still to come, and it's a cracker.
But first, why don't you follow us on Instagram and Twitter?
X.
On Instagram, we're at Vinyl Countdown Podcast, and on Twitter, we're at Vinyl Countdown 10.
And by the way, Twitter is X. Well, I hope you've had fun over the past hour. See you next time with another box full of great vinyl. Let's play out with the Buzzcocks, a stunning piece of music from 1978, proving that even punks liked recording at Abbey Road.
Bye.
I'm in love again. Been like this before. I'm in love again. This time's true, I'm sure.
The Vinyl Countdown.